All right. The Senate Committee on Human Services and Early Childhood will come to order. Today is Tuesday, February 3rd. Welcome to the first meeting of this committee. Do you mind pulling the door shut?
She's on her.
Somebody's out there. Great. Thank you. So why don't we start with the adoption of the committee rules so that we can have everybody here for introductions if they come. So I'm going to open up an organizational meeting on the adoption of committee rules.
Great. Madam Chair, I move to adopt the proposed committee rules dated today, February 3rd, 2015.
Senator Montes Anderson moves to adopt the proposed committee rules dated today. These, if you've been in committee yet this week, these are the same rules. Is there any discussion?
Just to say something that Senator Beyer said in the Education Committee, that we do the same thing in every committee. Why don't we just make it part of the Senate rules and be done with it? Just a thought.
Any further discussion? Now, seeing none, is there any objection to these rules? Seeing none, the rules are adopted. And why don't we go ahead and start with the introduction of committee members. Senator Montes Anderson.
Hi, I'm Lori Montes Anderson. I represent Gresham. I'm a nurse and a retired public health nurse. I'm glad to be here and sharing this endeavor with our new chair.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah, I'm Senator Jeff Cruz, Senate District 1, Southwestern Oregon, and I'm also glad to be on this committee. The subject matter in this committee was on the committee that Mona Sanderson chaired last time, so I think it's appropriate that the two of us are on your committee to connect the dots as we move forward.
Great. Senator Dimbrough.
Hi, I'm Senator Michael Dimbrough. I represent District 23, that's Northeast, Southeast Portland, and the city of Maywood Park inside. And I'm delighted to be returning to the Human Services Committee. By my very first term, 2009, I was on the Human Services Committee and was well-trained, whipped into shape by the good former Representative Carolyn Tomei, and my life has never been the same ever since. And I have a passion for many of the issues that will come before this committee. One thing that I'll share is that I'm currently one of the National Council of State Legislators Early Learning Fellows, and I have a real interest in early childhood education as a result of that. And I look forward to our looking into some of those issues and providing wraparound services, education, plus everything else that causes a child to thrive.
Vice Chair Olson.
Thank you. I apologize for being late. The earliness of this session, the second day, is quite befuddling and confusing as to what's going on, so I apologize. My name is Alan Olson. This is my first time on Human Services. I look forward to working with everyone. I am a senator from Senate District 20, which runs from Charbonneau to Estacada, from 224 down to Molino, a very large rural area. And I look forward to working on this committee and seeing if we can better the lives of our children.
Great, thank you. And my name is Sarah Gelser. I'm the state senator from Albany and Corvallis, Philomath, Millersburg, Tangent, and unincorporated areas of Linn and Benton County. I served in the House for a while, for about 9 years, and served on the Human Services Committee there most of my sessions. Prior to coming to the legislature, I actually worked for seniors and people with disabilities at DHS down the street, so I have a pretty significant passion around human service programs. So this committee is not new in subject matter. It's just new that we have the opportunity to really delve into the many issues that are bubbling up in our human service system and our mental health system. So the scope of this committee and conversations with the Senate President is pretty broad. We're going to take on a lot of different kinds of things. Obviously, all of the programs within the Department of Human Services, from SNAP to seniors, people with developmental disabilities and physical disabilities, child welfare, we'll also be looking at some issues issues related to housing, the Youth Development Council, the Early Learning Council, some issues related to incarcerated youth and programming for them in their communities. And we'll also be spending a lot of time addressing issues related to community-based mental health in the state hospitals. And that's work that everyone here has a real passion for. And I'm really grateful for Senator Montes Anderson and Senator Cruz and their leadership in this, and knowing that you're here to help connect those dots between physical and mental health. It's always hard to figure out where to put those things, because we know that they're very, very integrated. And with the membership of the committee here, we get to integrate those things together. So we'll be doing a lot of work here in the committee. We'll also be doing some work outside of the committee. We already have two meetings that are set up around some issues that are bubbling up around violence in state-operated group homes, or the stabilization and crisis units, trying to bring together parties to make sure that clients can, their dignity and independence can be respected, and workers can also be safe. And we also have a meeting coming up next week regarding whether or not the Department of Human Services can have caseworkers representing themselves when they aren't attorneys in courts. And the Judicial Department, Department of Justice have expressed some concerns about this. We do have a bill that really isn't quite ready for prime time, but we're working on bringing everybody together to get that right, to figure out how we can make sure that there is legal representation and attorneys there. So those are the kinds of things that we'll be doing in and out of the committee. If you have committee bills that you'd like to have introduced, bring them on over and we will pop them in. And we do have a lot of bills that are referred to the committee. So it's a 3 o'clock hearing, but today is a short hearing. I wouldn't anticipate that for the long term. I think we'll have more than enough work to do. Any questions about the scope of the committee?
Just a comment. We've been working on issues around the foster care system, which is in DHS, and one of the big issues we have had is to make sure that there's sufficient representation for all parties, which speaks to what you're talking about. And in fact, we had a package of bills about 6 years ago dealing with that, about 11 bills. The two people in the Senate that were driving it were myself and Kate Brown at the time. And we got everything we wanted except the funding, to make sure that parents and kids and everybody involved has legal representation. So that's something I think we need to take a hard look at. The price tag wasn't that great at that point in time. I think it was around $30 million. So that may be something we may need to kind of circle around to see if we can talk to our Ways and Means folks and see if we can get that sort of funding in the mix. So.
Well, and two other things that just triggered that are going to come up. We do have, you may recall, about two sessions ago, we took all of our tax credits and put them on that revolving sunset schedule, and we put them in like categories. This is the session in which all the human service ones come up. So if you look at the bills that are referred to our committee, we have a whole series of tax credits to review. Okay. The two sessions that we have done this, the process has been a little bit different in terms of how the Joint Tax Credits Committee has wanted the policy committees to handle that. In one session, they wanted the committee to prioritize them, you know, like 1 to 10. In the other, they wanted the committees to just decide and not send all of the credits on, and there was a budget of how much you had to come out of that committee. As you can imagine, these are credits that are important to a lot of people, so those conversations will probably start in the near future once we have a little bit more guidance from the folks down in Finance and Revenue. And then the other, I've been having some conversations with Senator Riley, who's co-chairing the Information Technology Committee. There are some issues within the Department of Human Services around information technology in terms of billing and payments and the senior disability system, in terms of the child welfare system. So we may be doing some joint meetings with the IT committee to look at what are some of these challenges and how can we make that more efficient so that we're best serving folks and have the strongest technology possible to serve the good work that the agency does. And then just a couple of reminders about deadlines. The last day to introduce concepts is February 25th for the unlimited concepts. And why does this say Wednesday, February 25th is the last day to introduce unlimited content? And then
our last meeting Madam Chair, members of the committee will be the day before
that. Oh,
the
24th, I see.
If you were introducing them through this committee.
So the 24th is the last day to bring a concept to be introduced. Yeah. We've got great staff this session. We have Maria Hernandez, who's going to be our committee assistant, and the amazing Cheyenne Ross, who is our committee administrator. Do you want to say a few words?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It's good to be back. As always, any member, any party, and any procedural or process-related questions you have, that's what we're here for, Maria and I both. And Zoe Larmer is assisting today on the learning curve. So.
It's nice to meet you, Zoe. I've heard a lot about you. All right. So with that, I'm going to open up a work session on the possible introduction. Committee members?
Committee members, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going into the bill. Never mind.
Nope. Is that okay, Senator Cruz?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right. So we have four concepts to introduce today. Senator Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move the following legislative concepts be introduced as committee bills. LC 3124, dated 1-22-15. LC 3130, dated 1-22-15, LC 3251, dated 1-28-15, and LC 3431, dated 1-26-15.
Vice Chair Olson moved that the following legislative concepts be introduced as committee bills: LC 3124, dated 1-22-15, LC 3130, dated 1-22-15, LC 3251, dated 1-28-15, and LC 3431, dated 1-26-15. And as a reminder, you're not being asked to vote for these bills. It's just a procedural process to put them in the system so that we can all vote on them later, maybe.
Or not.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, these are introduced as committee bills. And I'm going to close the work session on the introduction of committee bills and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 225. Cheyenne.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 225 has no subsequent referral. It permits the Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority to inform benefits recipients of changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program through news media, information posted at sites recipients frequent, and general mailings to recipients' households. It declares an emergency. Is it effective on passage?
Thank you. And Belit Burke? And Jill, are you coming up too?
No.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
For the record, my name is Belit Burke. I'm the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program Manager. And it's very seldom that people pronounce my name right. So thank you. So Senate Bill 225 aligns Oregon's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program to notification standard for mass changes to the Federal Food Nutrition Services Rule. And the reason this bill came about was during the 2013 government shutdown. We were in a position to try to make sure that we were following the rules, the 10-day notice rules, to get mailing to our notification to the SNAP participants. And we had the Food and Nutrition Services asking us not to send those mailings out and to wait because they were concerned we were going to create some confusion and concern in the community. We were also trying to align our release of information to the public along with the other states that, in the nation. So they wanted us to do this all together. But because of our 10-day notice rule, the state statute, we felt like we really had to get the work done and have everything ready and prepared to be able to meet our deadlines and to, you know, honor our state statute and follow it. Ultimately, we ended up not having a government shutdown or federal government shutdown, but it did cost the state $150,000 for us to get all the mailing set and ready, translations completed. And so we would want to be able to have the flexibility to hold on and do the notification in the 10-day time frame in a mass media in this kind of a circumstance so that we're not spending resources and funding, you know, preparing for something where we don't know if we're going to have to, you know, notify folks or not. And what the federal law does is it allows written notification, media notification, and posters and flyers, and we would have, in this circumstance, used the media notification option. And if this bill isn't approved, you know, Oregon could face this. You know, hopefully we never face this again, but we could be in a position where we're trying to, you know, make a deadline and not have the flexibility to not spend the funding to get folks notified. Any questions?
Are there any questions?
Relatively straightforward, I think.
Seeing none. Great presentation. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Next, we have John Mellon and Patty Whitney Wise. Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, John Mullen with the Oregon Law Center, and here today to talk about Senate Bill 225. First of all, we really appreciate the fact that the Department of Human Services really wanted to work with us and alert us to this issue when we had some discussion prior to this bill being drafted. And from my perspective, the discussion was really about government shutdown, and absolutely agree that it makes sense to look at alternate ways of letting people know during something like a government shutdown, which we have had experience where the government has actually shut down for short periods of time. But when we have very vulnerable people who could be confused and have problems and stress by having notification, as well as the expense, we agree that during government shutdowns, looking at alternate media is a really good idea. However, the language of the bill seems overly broad to a number of us. In other words, it also speaks to a reduction in benefits. So to give an example, when we had the ARRA funds, the stimulus funds, SNAP benefits were increased, and then they were decreased later on. And there was proper notice given by the Department of Human Services. But the bill seems to give the department additional options to not do the notification that many of my colleagues in the legal community would like to see. And I'll just close by saying that we're happy to work with the department and with this committee to narrow the language as possible. And I also want to add that I've had some conversations with Bob Jundeff from the Disability Rights Oregon, and he asked if I would just say that he supports this position.
Thank you. Patty Whitney Wise with Partners for Hunger Free Oregon and the Oregon Hunger Task Force. And we went through the situation with the department around the potential government shutdown, as well as sometimes during reauthorization where it's unclear when and if certain provisions will pass that could affect clients. So I understand their request and support that request. We also join with John and others, though, in being concerned that the language is a little bit too broad here and would hope the committee could write it in such a way that it would refer to these times, like government shutdowns, like when the bills reauthorized, where sometimes it's a very short window, and it does seem like a waste of money that the department has to prepare this notification. However, in the case of having enough advance notice, it's important for the clients to know if some big change is happening.
Do you have some proposed narrowing language in mind?
We discussed it with the department and sort of went around in circles, so mostly because we're not exactly sure the best way to do that, and we're thinking Ledge Council might be able to take a look at it, and with the understanding of thinking about just those emergency circumstances like reauthorization or like a shutdown, if there are a way to insert a little bit of language that makes it clearer that it's in those situations that this would be used, that would be appropriate.
I agree.
Senator Priest?
You know, I understand your concern, but I really think it's addressed. And, you know, I mean, to have the flexibility to deal with a tsunami is one thing, but one of the methods in here is mailing a general notice to the household of affected recipients. So I'm assuming in due diligence, if there was a real change, in due diligence, the department would take that third option, and it is there. So I understand your concern, but also knowing the way the department operates, this gives them flexibility for the tsunami, but still has the provisions they need if there's a real change that they need to address.
Yeah, Chair Gelzer and Senator Cruz, with this current Department of Human Services, we absolutely agree. They're very, very good and very client-focused. That doesn't mean that will always be the case. We've lived through other administrations and other department staff, so we just want to make sure there's a little bit of sidebars on when they can use it.
Senator Olson.
I think Senator Cruz asked the question I was going to ask, but I would just like to have you specifically say in the bill the number or the sentence that you're concerned with, if you would.
Okay, Madam Chair and Senator Olson. It says in Section 2, Sub 2, bolded, when the federal government changes a benefit or standard that results in the reduction, suspension or closure of the supplemental nutrition program. So when we're talking about reduction, there could be ways in which Congress acts to reduce the SNAP program. That has happened in the past. There's the ARRA example, so that causes a reduction in benefits. And just like all of us, when we have some kind of change that affects our income, we would want to have a formal notice about that rather than reading it in the newspaper, for example. So I think that that's if that could be taken out, that might help a whole lot towards getting towards resolution.
Follow up, please.
Yes, follow up.
So what you're saying is where it says that the department authority are not required, you would like to just say they are required to send mail notice to intended action to each recipient.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Olson, when there is a reduction in benefits, certainly our community, our legal community, including Disability Rights, the Oregon Law Center, I mean, notice is very important for, it has a legal standing, and it's specific, and it's specific towards the client. And recognize that it is an expense, but it's also part of being transparent and upfront with people receiving the services.
Senator Dimbrough.
Yeah, thanks. So what you would like to see this bill address is when there's a temporary suspension or reduction of benefit, right? I mean, that's what provoked this. Is that what you think it should be limited to?
Madam Chair, Senator Dimbrough, is also when it's something is in the works that it may actually happen. So, for example, as Billy Burke talked about the 2013 shutdown, it didn't actually happen, but because of the way it would have fallen, there was a requirement to get the 10-day notice out. But to your point, in general, I'm interested to see if we can get at the right kind of language to make sure that we're giving the department the license and authority to do what makes sense under a crisis situation, but then not expanding it to other situations where there's a reduction in benefits.
Actually, if you take the not required out of line 19, then you don't even need the bill because it's basically what currently exists.
Madam Chair, I think that we agree the department needs the flexibility for those emergency situations, so I don't think we're asking that the bill not be passed. I think we're really just asking for Ledge Council to come up with the word temporary seems pretty good, but I think that they're the experts in how you put the sidebars on this rather than us to actually solve the problem.
So would you be willing, and then Jill, to work with Cheyenne and maybe come back with some proposed language by the end of next week?
Absolutely.
Is that...
Madam Chair, we're asking for definitions that don't exist to a degree here. So, I mean, there's no definition of a government shutdown. you understand what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Madam Chair, Senator Cruz, this is why we understood that Legislative Council, as they're drafting this, and they draft so many bills or looking at it, they absolutely follow that kind of form and style. In other words, there's no definition of a government shutdown.
Right. And so, I at some point in time, you know, we can see a boogeyman behind every rock, but also when I look at the performance of this agency over the last decade, and I'm looking at this and I'm saying this gives them flexibility for those rare things, but still It still allows them to do what they're going to do if there is an actual change. And so I just, you know, I understand them trying to get out of a box, and if they're spending a couple hundred thousand dollars unnecessarily, I'd like to avoid that as well.
Absolutely. Great.
So is that, Shane, can you connect with everyone to?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yeah, great. Okay. Thank you very much. Anything further? Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else that would like to be heard on this bill? No, are we good? All right. With that, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 225. And probably for the only time this entire session, it's 2:30, and we're done. So don't spend your whole 90 minutes in one place. We're adjourned. I'll see you Thursday. We're adjourned. I'll see you Thursday. It's in one place.